Fly me to the moon, Jupiter and Mars. In other words, fly me to the moon. Let me play among the stars. And let me see what spring is like on a Jupiter and Mars. In other words, fly me to the moon. Let me play among the stars. And let me see what spring is like on a Jupiter and Mars. In other words,
peak season. I believe everyone has heard about peak season. What exactly that means? It means that many businesses are getting prepared in order to fulfill everything from the consumer side to during the holidays, right? We are talking about Black Friday. We are talking about Thanksgiving. We are talking about Christmas. And lately, for the last, I would say, 2 to 3 years, the dynamics have changed drastically. So today we are going to be talking about, I mean, how we should be preparing for peak season. We have rock star. Doug is going to be with us, I mean, from Six River Systems, and it's going to be a fun conversation. We are going to learn more about him, and also we are going to be learning about the technology that helped many, many, many companies in order to fulfill everything that they project for the holiday season. Doc is going to be arriving shortly, and here we go. Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm doing well. Good morning to you, Jose. Good to be with you.
Thank you. Thank you for taking the time. I mean, it's been amazing. I mean, just to come with the experts in the industry. I have to recognize that I'm a little bit biased because I love your technology.
What's not to love?
it's something that definitely are going to be acquiring. So I'm very sold on that. So my purpose here is for the general audience to learn more about the technology, how companies get the benefit using the technology, and who is going to be better than you to walk us through what it means, to be prepared for peak season, what exactly we can do, what exactly we shouldn't be doing, and stuff like that. So it's excellent. It's a nice opportunity for everyone to learn, including me, which I'm learning every single time.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Doc, I know that all of us, we have a story, right? So let us know about you. Let us know about your story.
Well, I don't know that we've got enough time for me to tell my whole story, but I'll share with you. I grew up in a really good family, and my father was in various businesses, including an industrial distribution business, and that's really where I got my start, quite frankly, with supply chain. Unbeknownst to me, as I worked in the back office, picking orders and inspecting inventory and building kits and, doing material requirements planning, while sitting at the dinner table for the president of the company, that I was getting a business education while I was working for, $5 an hour. And it started back then as a teenager. So I've been around supply chain literally since I was about 14 years old, and have held a various number of positions throughout the supply chain space. And it's kind of all culminated to being in the solution provision space, from working on a warehouse floor and understanding, some of the limitations back in the day before there was really any systems. It was paper-based three-part forms and manual UPS labeled boxes and manually handwritten manifests, all the way through to, you know, now highly automated facilities that make intelligent decisions leveraging, you know, artificial intelligence and flexible and fixed automation solutions to really streamline the fulfillment process. And, you know, my career over time has grown from that small working in the back for my dad into, you know, doing inbound logistics in the food service industry, third party logistics provision and management as a customer and provider, and then in the ops space, ultimately running a multi-facility, multi-omni-channel facility with the Dallas Cowboys, handling all of their fulfillment and manufacturing locally in the domestic space, and then consolidating all of those businesses into one 400,000 square foot mechanized facility and so on before transitioning into the, you know, provider space, where I joined the space back in 2013, as far as being a provider is concerned, with some stints in the WMS space, the WES space with Manhattan and Honeywell, and ultimately here at Six River Systems as a product executive.
Wow. In like a 4 minutes, you went over many, many years, right?
just a high level snippet of the things that I've done. You know, I could probably spend a full hour conversation on each of those different areas and, you know, handling inventory and merchandising and purchasing, inventory control and vendor relations, all of those things. But really, when I really come back to why am I at Six River Systems and why was it so appealing for me to join the organization, is being on the front edge of technology, kind of that leading edge, and really automating the solution, benefiting those people that I used to be, working on the floor, you know, hands on property, hands on inventory, actually fulfilling the customer's orders. You know, I'm passionate about that space and the ability to make the job of the actual workers easier, make their lives better, and really effectively assist companies with achieving the results that they need to meet customer satisfaction and the needs of the industry.
Yeah, no, and definitely we are going to get to it. Something that caught my attention, I mean, that you start talking about, I mean, those early days at the dinner table. And this is amazing because I have a friend, right, that he got the same exact experience. and it's amazing, I mean, how we get into any specific business because the dinner table at home when we are kids. And that is amazing. I don't know if I would assume that you remember clearly. What is the most impactful from your father that led you to keep navigating in this particular space?
Well, the interesting thing is sitting at the dinner table, I would often, because I was pretty curious, and I think that served me well, but I would ask a lot of questions about, well, why are we doing this? And why are we doing that? And why does this happen? And why does that happen? And the interactive conversations, you know, my dad and I have talked about that. He's long retired at this point, but we've talked about it over the years. And while I asked questions about why we were doing certain things, see, we had in that environment, we had to be 100% accurate. We were sending materials out to the field for construction companies. It was hydraulic and pneumatic seals and packing. Right. Okay. Which, you know, run big hydraulic booms and cranes and earth movers. So if they had a breakdown, they'd order something and that would go out from our customer. Well, we had to provide our customer the bulk quantities absolutely accurate, because if we sent something to the field that they couldn't repair it because it was missing a part, the kit was missing an item, then they'd be down for another day. And you're talking equipment that rents for $10,000, $20,000, $50,000 a day, even back then. So I would ask questions. Why do we have to do it perfectly? What is this? Why is that? And he helped educate me on the need for accuracy and specificity, especially as you're satisfying customer needs. And that helped me to learn about building the customer relationship and building the customer satisfaction, you know, and ensuring that the customer is always first. Right. And we do what we do to satisfy those demands. And interestingly, as I asked questions and he explained that, he was hearing me bring about ideas or thoughts or, you know, part of the conversation. He was learning about what was going on in his warehouse as much as I was learning about business. So it was a mutually beneficial dinner table conversation for sure.
That is an amazing experience. And I believe, in my personal opinion, that's the right foundation for something that you're going to develop and get some education and move forward in that space, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think education is critically important, right? And the continuous learning and the continuous discovery that curiosity brings. But it's hard to say, okay, education is more important than experience, because I think experience enhances the education path. It brings a perspective that sometimes is lost in the industry when it's just, you know, maybe school taught or book taught. You know, life lessons and the failings that come with experience are really informative on how to avoid some of the tripwires as you move and navigate through your career and in any industry, in my opinion.
Yeah, because those failures, I mean, we don't see that at school, right?
Well, hope not.
we are not trained at school. I mean, just to face those specific challenges and failures that we have.
Exactly.
So another thing that is interesting for me, and hopefully it's going to be for everyone, I mean, the experience in the Cowboys. I am a fan of the Cowboys as well. I mean, I have like a four or three different teams, but the Cowboys is one of those. What exactly is that? I mean, the experience that you have in regards of that.
Yeah, I think that could be a long conversation, but I'll try to, you know, keep it to a minimum. In 2002, Jerry Jones, the owner of the Cowboys, decided he wanted to basically be the manufacturer of record for all of his apparel and things with the Cowboys logo. As the franchise owner, he wanted that. And it happened to be in a contract sync. So in the NFL, there's what's called an on-field apparel agreement. And Nike has it right now. Reebok had it back then. And Jerry decided he was going to opt out. Well, that's when it came to me. They had interviewed a gentleman that I had worked with at a 3PL prior to. And he said, really, I'm not probably not the right guy. Why don't you call Doug? And out of the blue, I got a call, you know, this is so-and-so from the Dallas Cowboys. We'd like to talk to you about a job. And I'm like, you know, when I kind of got up off the floor, because I lived in Dallas, Fort Worth at the time, my wife, huge Cowboy fan. And I said, sure, I'll come talk to you. Well, they hired me in. And when I started there, they had just the beginnings of .com, really what was going on with the Dallas Cowboys website, and 13 retail pro shops. So they had, you know, like kind of Lids or a Hat World type of a mall pro shop. And then game day operations, little small 23,000 square foot facility with like three employees. And so I joined them, and I had to help define and select the proper systems and set them up to make them work. Because initially, Reebok fulfilled all of our orders, but we were the order taker, right? Okay, as the manufacturer of record. And then, you know, fast forward in the retail space, there's lots of compliance requirements, right? From EDI and communication all the way through floor ready compliance in regards to how the product is delivered to the big retailers around the country. And so Reebok was fulfilling our orders, but we were seeing a lot of expense offsets. And so we decided, you know what, we could actually improve our margins and decrease those things if we took it in-house. Okay. So we basically went, got 100,000 square foot warehouse. I designed it, built it all out, and did what we had to do to get that done, and worked with the team as I grew it up, and brought everything in house. And the Jones family says, if I can be my biggest customer, why not start another business? So as we grew and we were selling more merchandise, what happened is you would buy blank materials, like blank jerseys and blank t-shirts. And if something became very popular, an example would be an image on a t-shirt of there was a Cowboys in Philadelphia game when Jason Witten got his helmet knocked off and he ran down the field, and there was a very specific photograph that was taken, and that photograph became a t-shirt, right? And everybody wanted that t-shirt. Well, then we're buying from local screen printers those materials and expending a lot of money locally to fill blanks. And Mr. Jones said, why am I spending this much money to other people? Let's start our own business. So then we started Blue Star Graphic and Design, which was a silk screen printing company. Mm-hmm. And that's where we took down another 35,000 square foot facility, started building that out. Well, year over year, we were growing in excess of 100% in regards to what we were handling in volumes, because we kept taking in different lines and new products. And we came to a place when I started, as I said, it was 23,000 square feet and three employees. And then when I, 8.5 years later, we were in a 400,000 square foot omni-channel facility handling wholesale and all the floor ready compliance work, retail for our own retail pro shops. There were now 35. So we grew from 13 to 35 in a 5-state region, handling a tremendous volume of direct to consumer, and then also doing manufacturing of a lot of printed goods. So it was omni-channel before omni-channel was a buzzword in the industry. And, you know, I had kind of reached the glass ceiling of a family-owned business and couldn't go, but we went from that small facility with three employees to those 400,000 square foot and north of 300 people in the operation running all of our activities.
So, wow. That was an amazing story. That is an amazing story. And this is why we call this particular program No Booking, because no one has to make any special booking in order to hear all these stories.
Real
stories, something very inspiring, because I have to recognize that the combination that you have, basically hands-on in that type of operation, and adding the technology, I mean, make something amazing, right? Because in I don't know how many years apart, but you went to Manhattan, which is probably one of the leaders in the industry for the WMS system, right?
And that's an interesting caveat, a good transition in that story. While I was there and we were continuing to build out, we had outgrown the system that we had had, which was kind of a holistic ERP, small level, holistic ERP, order management, warehouse management, but limited functionality. And so we went out and sourced for the entire Cowboys organization, Dynamics from Microsoft as an ERP, and we integrated it with Manhattan Scale, WMS, which was their Windows platform. And I was the project lead along with our controller, and we worked with our teams to really, you know, phase the approach of how we would go live and really build out the system configuration-wise to meet our requirements. And we had a few little enhancements, but that, along with when I was with the U.S. Food Service doing some inbound transportation management with a provider in that space, really led me down the path of having an interest in the technology and how the technology can benefit. And how do you match technology to physical and the operational processes? And so, interestingly, when we went live with Manhattan, it was about a 6-month project, and we actually went live. We went live on Monday, and I, as the general manager of the facility, the operations manager at the time, I left on Wednesday and went to Manhattan's user conference. And interestingly, we didn't have any issues with me leaving. The staff was trained effectively. We had forecasted what we needed, and everybody was up to speed and engaged in that project of transition. And I sat at a breakfast one morning at that user conference with a gentleman by the name of Daryl Barr. And Daryl was the product manager for Scale. And I asked him, so what, tell me about your job. And he told me, oh, it's about prioritizing investment. What does the future look like? So on and so forth. And I said, yeah, I want your job. And fast forward 7 years or 8 years, 10 years, whatever it was from that conversation, I actually at Manhattan was the product manager for the Scale product. So I actually ended up having that job that I said I wanted back in 2002 or 2004, whatever it was. So it's pretty interesting path, but it really interested me how and what you do from a technology perspective to ensure the integrity of your facility processes, your processes associated with inventory control and all of those things. And, you know, we managed through the systemic processes of cycle counting, you know, both event-based as well as planned to, you know, keep inventory management from a shrinkage perspective down to, you know, under 25, 10 thousandths of 1% 5 years in a row. It was pretty amazing. And we stopped having to do physical inventory. Right. Wow. We stopped having to do an annual physical, which we did early on while I was there. We'd shut down for a whole week and we're working from 6 a.m. till 10 o'clock at night to get everything counted in that week. We went to where we could satisfy both the IRS and the NFL audits with our inventory control program. So those types of uses of technology have always been, you know, very interesting and intriguing for me to leverage technology to supplement operational processes to ensure the maximum efficiency of movement of goods through the facility.
Now, moving to the technology piece, I have a question, and I always try to make this question to people like you that they are experts in this particular field. And the question is why the adoption is still so difficult for companies and people. The adoption of new technology is very difficult. Why is that difficult in these particular times? Where we call these times that we are in a technology era, right?
But yeah, the digital revolution, if you will.
Right.
Jose, I think it's twofold from what I've seen and what I've observed. You know, on one hand, people get kind of stuck in the, well, we've always done it that way. This is the way we've always done it, and we've been successful. Don't fix what's not broken. So I think there's an element of that, and some of that feeds difficulty in the adoption process is really not having clearly defined processes and procedures to then map technology to support. Do you see what I'm saying? Oftentimes it's like, you know, a prescriptive approach rather than a collaborative approach. And I think it takes both sides, from a supplier side as well as a customer side in the technology space, to really collaboratively work to what's the best solution for the most. The other side of it is maybe in the WMS space, if you will, which is where I have a lot of experience, you know, there's maybe a little bit of a limited understanding of just how to use the technology to the benefit most effectively. So I think that it's twofold. It's kind of, we've always done it that way, and a little bit of apprehension to adopt something new and take that risk.
Yeah, well, it's amazing. I mean, it's 2022, and still companies like the one that you represent, I mean, probably they are struggling in order to get some adoption, the massive adoption that we should be seeing. But that's not the case, unless that I'm probably wrong. But I see many companies that they said, oh, we don't have where is going to be the time or resources in order to make that investment or that transition from a semi-automated process to something completely tech-based.
Well, it takes effective leadership to make those decisions and take those risks. And of course, those decisions are always risky. You know, is there going to be a return on the investment? And, you know, that's one of the things that we really, really, you know, focus on here at Six River Systems, is the ability to ensure through a very integral evaluation of data and process that there is an ROI, that there's an effective business case to mitigate some of those apprehensive, you know, risk factors for companies, and really try to provide them with a tangible, realistic ROI associated with the investment. And there's a lot of intrinsic value that comes through creating automated solutions and enabling technology, you know, employee satisfaction, employee engagement, things of that nature that are a little bit harder to measure, a little bit harder to put a value on, but they're definitely there, right? Because technology allows leadership and supervisory staff and management to be able to focus on the business and what is the basic core of every business. It's people, right? They facilitate that business being done. So if you can enable the people to be more engaged, more satisfied with the work they're doing, less risk associated with the work they're doing, and the employer, the managers and supervisors, to be able to engage with them, what happens? Right. You get a collective motion forward.
We mentioned several times Six Rivers Systems. Let us know about the company, a short story of the company, please.
Okay. Well, Six River Systems, interesting name. It is a Boston-based company. Okay. And, you know, the Charles River is a big river in the Boston area, and there are six tributaries that feed the Charles River. And so that's where the name Six River came from, Six River Systems. And our collaborative mobile robot is named Chuck for the Charles River. Okay. So, you know, Chuck is the bot, and that's kind of the history. Our founders, Jerome and Rylan and Chris, Jerome DuBois, Rylan Hamilton and Chris Cassiopo got together, and Rylan and Chris had been with, Rylan and Jerome were with Kiva, previously. So they had automation experience as well as some other in the supply chain space. They said, hey, we think we can satisfy a need here, right? Where is there the majority of labor spend in the warehouse and it's in picking? And so the company was born to optimize picking with a collaborative mobile robot. It's not to displace employees. It's to enhance the employee experience, increase the level of throughput in a facility, increase the level of accuracy by leveraging autonomous mobile robots in a collaborative way to optimize the picking process. And so it's not just the robot, but it's also the software and the intelligence that the system feeds the robot in regards to how it interacts with the employees and really guide them through the process of picking while ensuring the accuracy with various validations and processes in the path. So it started in, you know, in 2016. We were acquired in 2019 by Shopify, and our missions really align well when we think about that. You know, Shopify wants to democratize, you know, commerce, if you will, and we want to democratize fulfillment in many respects and really provide access to technology that brings benefit throughout the fulfillment space as best we can.
Beautiful. Well, that was very interesting about the story, the name, right? Because the name, I mean, your question, the first time that I saw the name, I said, what exactly would be the meaning of the name of the company? But thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, absolutely.
You point something that is important, because I mean, very often we hear that technology is displacing some labor, and people get concerned about that. And probably part of the support that the technology is not having is because people believe that they are going to be displacing some jobs, and basically we are removing the human aspect of that.
Right.
How do you guys counter that thinking?
Well, realistically, we're not looking to displace employees. We're looking to enhance the employee experience. And when you think about one of the challenges, and this kind of feeds into the topic around peak support, right? One of the big challenges in peak is attracting, training, and retaining associates. You know, you think about, there was a FreightWave survey done early this year. It said 73% of operators can't find enough associates to satisfy the demand. Well, if you can better benefit the associates that are there with a collaborative piece of technology that does what? Allows them to be more engaged. They're working with some robots. I mean, people kind of find robots are pretty cool, right? And it's a safe piece of equipment, but it lets them be, you know, hands-free, heads up, which means they're now more engaged in their work. They're not necessarily heads down looking at paper and wandering around.
It stops
them from having to labor with pulling a manual cart and the strains that come with that. So, you know, it's not about displacing. It's really about attracting the right labor and maximizing the efficiency of those resources with a collaborative tool in Chuck. And, you know, what we see is, you know, when you think about peak preparation and that challenge around labor, a few factors, right? You've got to have a proper forecast associated with your labor need. Well, with our solution, you know, our fulfillment execution system with Chuck at the center of that, if you will, you know, we provide the ability to really project what is going to be a consistent throughput, because it's a guided workflow, right? We're pacing the user through the process so you can properly forecast the needs. You know, you can offer incentives and perks to get people to hire. I think there's a little bit of a perk when you're working with a robot versus a piece of paper. You get, you know, hands-free, heads up, that type of thing. And then ongoing training and support to keep them retained. Well, Chuck's really easy to learn. You know, we've had cases where people talk about a week or two or three of onboarding that is reduced literally to one day, and they're actively able to work. So, you know, there's opportunity to forecast a little bit more effectively, you know, leveraging historical data and understanding what the throughput is going to be with a guided workflow, you know, and that is a big part. And then engagement, employee engagement is really important for retention, right? Keeping those people. Well, people get pretty engaged when they're working with a robot, right? And they feel like, hey, this is cool. I'm on the front end. I'm on the leading edge of technology, and I'm part of how, you know, people are getting their goods. You know, I find it interesting. I buy from a couple of our vendors or our customers, and you know, I really like it when a package shows up at my door that I know traveled on Chuck at some point, right? So,
right, and as I mentioned at the beginning, I mean, I'm a little biased because I love the technology. I always been fan of technology, mm-hmm. therefore. I have a way to compare because I have started so many different warehouse operations and fulfillment operations, and I'm talking about 20 years or 25 years, mm-hmm. where basically you print paper orders and then you go with those orders, you're going to give it to someone with a car and they are going to go to multiple different locations and pick those goods, right?
Yep.
And
yep.
I got the opportunity to do it with Six Rivers when you guys were in Modex.
Yep.
And picking, it becomes fun, as you mentioned, right? Because you are behind the shock, right?
Yep.
And it's very easy. And if I can do it, anyone can.
Yep. 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 So that's the benefit of a guided workflow, right? And that's really one of the things. That's the software side of the collaborative mobile robot is the system-directed workflows and really looking at how do we optimize the fulfillment process. And that really feeds into another topic around peak and peak preparedness, demand, right? At peak, what happens? Demand ramps up and order profiles change, which means now I have to respond to that. And how do I respond to those changes in demands, right? Whether it's a demand spike because, you know, you've got a special or a product becomes hot, maybe some influencer mentions it and it's in your product portfolio, or just those changing order profiles. You know, how do you handle that? Well, I think you define flexible picking strategies to improve the pick rates and the throughput. Well, with Six Rivers, you can do that, right? Because we have the capacity in our fulfillment execution systems to take things like single line, single units and batch them, right? Uh-huh. Or single line multi-units and batch them, or split and consolidate, right? You know, split demand based on, you know, different inventory places and bring them to a sort wall or, you know, a mobile sort wall. You know, provide cluster picking opportunities where, you know, you're batch picking and distributing it across the cart, the chuck, mm-hmm. if you will, right? And how do you accomplish that? Well, through configuration and the ability of the system, you know, the software that runs the hardware, through configuring uh-huh. to fit your business profiles, and then the intelligence to consume the demand and break it up effectively. And Chuck will allow you to pick all those different types of work in one pick path. And so we condense the volume of picking into a certain picking area, and we increase or optimize that resource utilization within the pick aisle itself. So you're visiting less aisles in a pick right. run, mm-hmm. and you're visiting more locations within those fewer aisles because we're collecting all of that information and we're intelligently inducting it onto the robot. And the flexibility of our solution allows you to, you know, expand, right? In the course of peak, right? You can do a peak season rental, and really all it is a matter of taking a delivery of additional bots and turning them on, because mm-hmm. all of the configuration lives in the cloud software, and the embedded software on the hardware knows how to communicate with that. So you get 10 more chucks and satisfy your peak demand. They come in, you turn them on, they localize, and you're ready to go. You now just increased your throughput significantly depending on the size of your facility.
You made it very simple. I mean, hear you referring to the whole entire process. I mean it is very easy.
It is.
It seems to be very easy.
And you can attest to that. You know, your first interaction with Chuck, you picked on it. It's pretty simple.
it was fun. I believe that I didn't make any mistake.
Well, we appreciate that. We definitely appreciate your enthusiasm. I think you got two participants on this discussion that have a bias. Obviously, you know, I have a definitive bias as an employee of the organization, but I have more of a bias than that because of my industry experience, because of my background in operations. It's one of the reasons that led me to Six Rivers, is to really continue to help advance the technology evolution that satisfies the needs of our fulfillment marketplace.
Without any question, in Six Rivers, as many as some other companies, I mean, they are right on point because they are fixing an issue, they are fixing a problem, they are adding a lot of value to I mean, every single company that they have to have a warehouse operation, mm-hmm. fulfill orders and stuff like that. No question about it. I mean, the value is being delivered. Yep. If you guys don't do that, I mean, it's like committing a crime because you are not helping the community and businesses, right?
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, we're really, honestly, Jose, we are associate obsessed, if you will, right? Mm-hmm, our mm-hmm. focus is on the associates doing the work. First and foremost, how do we make their lives the best? Because what does that do? That translates to bottom line company value, because you don't have to rehire people. You decrease your turnover. You don't have to spend as much money training because of the simplicity and intuitiveness of the solution. Right. And you reduce the cost of training, right? And getting them up to speed. So you retain them because they're engaged. You train them very quickly and you have the ability to expand. We focus really primarily on the on-floor operator. Who's doing the work? Because they're the ones that our solutions benefit the most. And absolutely. That translates to great value to our customers at the macro level, if you will.
Absolutely correct, yes. And before we are going to jump into a use case, we have a friend here, Mr. Jerry Levy, uh-huh. that he is posting a question for you to review. So basically, what is important in the process for the integrating WMS and logistics systems?
I'll tell you, Jerry, it's a good question. And I think it may be an area, that maybe does lack focus. It almost becomes a reactive decision at the end. My experience when I was with the Cowboys and was involved in that decision, it was definitely a big motivator for us. So we had a data platform that we integrated everything into, a data analytics tool. But more importantly, we really looked at how do we integrate these solutions into our inbound carrier information, and the ASNs from the vendor community to know what was inbound so that we could project our receiving requirements, our ERP into the WMS, and all of the interactivity that was necessary there. It is really, I think it's a critical component in today's landscape in particular, because it's more than just distribution, right? It's more than just warehousing. It's more than just fulfillment, right? It used to be the term logistics was a big term. Mm-hmm. Now the term is supply chain. And I, as a warehouse operator, would always push back on my purchasing or merchandising department and say, guys, I need you to get some conformity in our manufacturing and vendor community so that I can be more efficient in the warehouse, which means mm-hmm. I can take the cost of inventory and translate it to bottom line revenue quicker. Because I don't have to touch it as often. I don't have to, relabel it or repackage it or any of those natures. If I can get conformity, it makes my warehouse operation more effective, which makes it better utilization of cost, better utilization of asset capital with inventory. So let's make it a supply chain issue. And so I think a holistic view from beginning to end with integrated systems is really a critical element to the overall success. And when we think about Six River Systems is a fulfillment execution system, we integrate into that, ecosystem with mm-hmm. integration to the WMS or maybe an ERP WM module, something of that nature, to again, optimize the execution within the four-wall warehouse. And it's not just picking, right? We can use the workflows to do pack out processing. We can use the workflows to do put away processing, taking inventory from receiving and putting it away, uh-huh. And we can facilitate more wall-to-wall optimization on the execution side of things, with the WMS, if you will, as our host system that's giving us the requisite information to execute on, and then we optimize it that much further. So I hope that answers your question, Jerry. It looks like it does.
Yes.
The holistic view, I think that's where the consumer benefits. And we know today we are in a very, very much in a consumer economy, right? And, people call it the Amazon effect. I don't necessarily like that that statement based on our parent company, Shopify. We all want to satisfy the customer needs. And that is another element, right? In peak season preparation, right? The challenge associated with customer satisfaction. You know, there was a McKinsey survey done kind of at the tail end of the pandemic, said 39% of consumers have changed their brands or their retailers since the beginning of the pandemic. You know, they made a change. Well, a lot of that was based on maybe inventory constraints, you know, product scarcity, things of that nature. Well, that's a byproduct of an ineffective supply chain, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's a lot of things that happened that I've seen, you know, nearshoring of manufacturing decreasing or increasing, depending on the use case, the supply network, if you will. But when you see that change, that's a huge turnover. That is a loss of future revenue if I lose a customer to a new brand because of maybe lack of supply chain performance. And some of that is consumers right now, what do they expect? Two-day delivery, same-day shipping. It's an instant gratification economy. I want what I want when I want it, and you need to provide it. And now is what is when, you know?
Yeah.
So how do you do that, right? How do you achieve that? When you really think about it, right, you've got to have a reduction in time and fulfillment. You got to have predictability within your supply chain. Back to Jerry's question about how do you know what's coming, when it's coming, that affects, if you will, the available to promise, right? And how do you reduce the fulfillment time? By leveraging properly defined procedures, supplemented with flexible automation solutions to satisfy an increased level of throughput. The other thing is you got to increase accuracy. Because y'all know, I'm sure, Jose, you've bought something somewhere and they send you the wrong thing. And you're like, oh, I'm not shopping with them again.
Because now
I got to get back on the website. I got to process a return. I got to probably take it to the post office. Got to spend some money in order to get my money back. I don't have the product that I wanted right now for another couple of days. So accuracy is a key part in the process, too. You know, and Six River Systems, we do take that into account. You know, I think that's the case across the industry regardless, but our solutions take that into account with image provision on the workflow. So you know what you're going to work with, right? You have an image of the product. So you know what you're getting, you know, scan validation of barcodes, things of that nature, and a lighted direction for where you put it with secondary checks in the pack out process, if you will. So you're going to ensure that that accuracy is there. Efficiency, get it through fast. The system-directed workflow with the optimization I talked about before is a big part of that, right? How do I increase the throughput of the facility? Well, that allows me to take in more demand and satisfy that instant need, meet that customer's expectation with SLAs. And we take that into account in how we ingest work. What is the cutoff time for that order? When does it have to be the dock?
Right.
And then also you got to look at what are contingency plans, right? Contingency plans with a little bit of redundancy is always a key element in making sure that you can satisfy the customer's ever increasing demand and expectation and do it well. Why? So that you can gain, satisfy, and retain that customer and continue to grow your revenue base.
The consumer behaviors have changed drastically. And what was your experience before the pandemic, throughout the pandemic, and now? And this particular question is in regards of what it would be the preparation that companies have to make for peak season, having these three different times where they were completely different.
Well, honestly, you know, when I think about that, Jose, I think the biggest way to prepare for that is by engaging systems and solutions that enable flexibility.
Okay.
Because flexibility is the way to respond to changing demand patterns. Oftentimes, and what happened pre-pandemic is there was kind of a consistency. And so supply chains were kind of running on autopilot. Well, the pandemic hit, and I know here in North America, there was lots of jokes online and videos of people opening an overcoat instead of the old traditional, I'm going to sell you a watch, it's toilet paper, right? Because the supply chain had a huge interruption because people started, well, we're going to be quarantined for 30 days, not be able to leave that. All right, get all the toilet paper. Well, then there wasn't any. Then you react, right? And it becomes almost this, you know, peak and trough mentality. That's what reaction brings. But flexibility provides the ability to respond, right? And that flexibility will allow you to respond. So when you think about the transition from in-store purchasing to more online purchasing, that changes the order profile, right? More each picking, less case picking. Well, does the solution provide support for both? Can you enable both, right? Our collaborative mobile robot, you know, and this isn't just holistically about Six River Systems, but when I think about it, one of the factors that I consider when I think about technology is we've got the largest capacity collaborative mobile robot, over 200 pounds. So we can handle some of the case fulfillment work that needs to be done, as well as discrete order, individual unit picking. So flexibility is a big key in the ability to respond to that changing demand profile. And when I think about what happened over time, how do you address the spikes? Through balance, right? How do you balance through supply chain management as a whole and effective execution at the point of fulfillment?
That's a great point. I would assume that Six River Systems has so many different success stories. What would be one that you would like to share with us?
Okay.
And I would assume that probably is related to peak season as well.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. One of our we tout this one pretty regularly because it's like probably a great, it's a great example of a company that had some challenges, right? Company was Crocs, and we're for your username. You know, their challenge was they were foreseeing about a 75,000 piece per day increase in peak. So they were going to have to do a pop-up facility and their main facility, and how do they handle that, so on and so forth. How do we hire 400 associates for this short period of time to satisfy fulfillment of all of that demand? And they came to Six Rivers and said, hey, we're going down this path. What do you think? So on and so forth. So we started the process, came to agreement, if you will, and we started the design process by evaluating data and really putting forth our best foot. And we came to the solution of, okay, we're going to provide 51 chucks for your normal operation.
Okay.
And then when you hit the peak timeline, you know, fourth quarter, holiday peak, we're going to provide you 32 additional seasonal chucks. That's going to give you 83, which is going to handle all of your throughput, including the 75K increase. We integrated that with a tier one Manhattan WMS to deploy. So we went from design to deployment prior to 2020 peak in 3 months. Three months. You know, one of the quotes, Rob Farbach, from the director of distribution and logistics over there, said the real win here is we got from up and running. We went through design to deployment in less than 3 months in time for that holiday peak. Well, what were the results of that process? Uh-huh. Well, quick deployment, effective utilization. Now let's talk about how they benefited. Mm-hmm. They saw 182% pick rate improvement. 182%. 182% pick rate improvement.
That's beyond any expectation, I guess.
Absolutely. Absolutely. They were at full volume day two after go live. That's how easy it is to train and utilize the system. Their training was reduced from a full week to 1 day, and probably less than 1 day, because those pickers were probably active by the end of the first day. So, you know, they had a challenge and they came to us. We put our minds to it, our math to it, knowing what we do. And we provided them the recommendation of our solution. And in 3 months time, we went from the design to the deployment to a great return for Crocs to satisfy those customer needs, right? One of the peak demand problems, you know, satisfy the demand increase, another peak challenge that needs to be overcome, and overcome a training nightmare for many new associates to satisfy the labor constraints. So, you know, you think about three major factors around peak planning: labor, demand, and customer satisfaction. DeCroc's example kind of exemplifies how Six River, as an organization, Six River Systems, using our collaborative mobile robot Chuck and our fulfillment execution software, were able to deliver a solution to overcome those challenges.
Wow, that is amazing. I mean, a great use case, no question about it. If you need to think about, one particular challenge, the major challenge that you have during this particular time in that implementation, what it would be that?
I don't know that there was a lot of challenges. This happened before I joined Six River Systems, so I wasn't intimately involved in that project and that plan. But, you know, when I think about, you know, what are some challenges associated with it, designing and deploying a solution, is, do you have the requisite level of support on site within your organization, or do you need that support? And there's ways to overcome those challenges.
Okay.
If you don't have it, you don't have to hire it, right?
Mm-hmm.
We can provide, you know, Six River Systems can engage in that process through our partnering as well as our internal resources to overcome those gaps. But, you know, the biggest element from my perspective is understand what your business processes are, right? Understand what your demand profile looks like with historical data and proper forecasting, and then work collaboratively with the supplier, Six River System, WMS provider, ERP provider, TMS provider, the whole supply chain suite, to really match the solution and the setup and configuration of the solution to meet your needs and in your organization.
And without any question, for any company that they have an estimation, what it would be the peak numbers, anyone is going to get some, they're going to be afraid to try something different, right? And using technology and thinking about the implementation and stuff like that.
It kind of goes back to the earlier part of the conversation this afternoon or this morning, that, you know, nothing ventured, nothing gained. Right, is kind of the way I look at that. And yes, there are risks associated with it, but one of the things that we pride ourselves on is doing a really deep analysis of the data to ensure that there is an effective business case before we launch into a contract go forward. So we stand very, very much behind the return we're going to provide at Six River Systems, because we do an exhaustive analysis of customer data and work collaboratively with the customer to really ensure that there's going to be a successful project.
Doug, I'm going to be the voice of many brand owners, right?
Okay.
And I'm going to come to you and ask you, I need to prepare for peak season. Tell me your top 5, top 10 things that I have to consider in order to start getting prepared and be able to have a better experience through peak season.
Data analytics, make sure you have the ability to analyze your data.
Okay.
What are your commitments to your customers? Know what your service level is going to be.
Okay.
Understand what the labor impacts are going to be based on those two factors.
Okay.
Right. Ensure that you understand the demand pattern changes. Again, historical data analysis. And then really look at, from that SLA perspective, how and what you're going to do to respond, not react, so that you can stay level through that peak season. Yeah, it's an increase in demand. It's an increase in volume. But if you plan and evaluate upfront and you start to prepare even right now, it's going to make it smoother. But if you procrastinate and say, well, it's not, peak doesn't start until October, it's actually not the case. You know, peak is starting earlier. It's kind of like if you go out shopping, you think about it. When I was a kid, when did you start seeing Christmas things in the store? After Thanksgiving. And then gradually it became, Halloween. And Thanksgiving kind of fell off the map. I have seen things for Christmas in the holiday season, the peak season, if you will, in as early as July. That's Absolutely. 6 months in advance. Well, it's May. We're not far from that now. So start early and continuously plan. Don't reactively plan. By looking at your historical information, working collaboratively with your sales channels and overall company to forecast effectively, and don't ever stop planning for peak. That would probably be my biggest statement. Don't ever stop planning for peak. Don't ever, because if you do it continuously, you'll get better every peak season. And what happens? I meet customer satisfaction requirements. I make sure the demand can be satisfied because I've got the right inventory profiles and I have the ability to fulfill it. And I don't run into labor constraints that negate my ability to satisfy both of those things because I'm out in front of it. I never stop planning.
Yeah. And Cherokee is part of the family and is going to be part of so many other families.
Yeah.
Six Rivers System is planning to have a sister or a brother to Chuck, or Chuck is going to be the only one member of the family?
Well, there's always things to look for in the future. You know, I can't necessarily, you know, open up and describe everything we'll ever do, but we are constantly looking at how can we most effectively enable fulfillment through software and other elements to achieve the best results for companies that engage with us and kind of overall fulfillment space.
And do you believe that the problem that we are living today, I mean, of course, I mean, we are talking about the supply chain. I mean, it's been affected for all, where it's going to be war and lockdowns in China and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. How do you foresee that this is going to be affecting peak season in this year and the near future as well?
Well, I've read a few different articles, and I think we're probably in for about the same 2022 as we saw in 2021. There is going to be some elements that are variant. There's going to be some delays. As you still see, there's lots of delays in the port. There's lots of delays in exports and things of that nature. So, you know, it's hard in such a short period of time. From, let's say, the beginning of the pandemic, the effects of huge buying pattern changes to nearshore or onshore, all of the manufacturing needs to satisfy the demands that are there, as well as, you know, you look at the microchip shortage and things of that nature and how that has impacted the electronics and the automobile industry and so on. There's factors that we haven't seen, but I would say we're in for probably a similar to 2022 in 2022 as what we saw in 2021, which, you know, it's not that 2021 was terrible. Yes, there was some shortages. Yes, there was some difficulties, but there was a lot of learnings and ability to implement new solutions and satisfy demands the best that they could. But I think that is why I say start now. Don't ever stop, is because people are starting to already think about that, because in 2021, they didn't get their Christmas presents. Maybe they didn't get their Thanksgiving turkey. So now they're thinking about, how do I do that in advance to ensure? So there may not be as large a spike as more of a steady increase and a level out at peak and then a little bit of a fall off, and then it gradually builds. And I think that's why continuous planning and evaluation is such a critical element to be successful.
Right. And this is a question that probably I see that many clients may have. Is Six Rivers Systems a solution for a big brand owner, or it doesn't matter the size? And because sometimes we are afraid of that, right? I mean, I'm very small, then basically this technology shouldn't be for me. It's for the big players, for the big guys, for the big brands.
No, I would disagree with that. You know, I think we can satisfy whenever there's each picking or volume picking that's necessary, we can satisfy that. We've got some customers in the industrial supply space. We've got some customers that are large. I mean, Crocs is a pretty big brand, but we've also got small regional players and 3PL customers that satisfy multiple merchants on their own, right?
Absolutely.
The Shopify fulfillment network uses our collaborative mobile robots, and they're small volumes that are in a collaborative space. But ultimately, we want to prescribe the solution that fits. Are we a fit for every company and every fulfillment everywhere? Not necessarily based on product profile and order profile, but we don't want to limit where we can be of benefit. And so that's the idea of democratizing fulfillment. We don't want to be a stopgap. We want to be an ability and provide the access to technology to companies up and down the spectrum.
Thank you. Thank you for that, Doug. Well, last question is, if someone needs to reach out to Six Rear Systems, what is the best way?
Basically, go ahead and jump onto our website, sixrivers.com, and make an inquiry. There's connective links there to our sales group and our marketing group and so on. But sixrivers.com. Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much. I mean, the conversation has been amazing. I mean, thank you for taking the time.
Absolutely. Thank you, Jose.
I did personally enjoy this conversation very much, and I see that there's more opportunities in order to continue talking about all these experiences and great cases.
Absolutely. I appreciate the invite. It's been enjoyable for me as well to have the conversation, and glad I had the opportunity to share a little bit of who I am and my history, as well as some of the things we here at Six River Systems are focusing on and doing to help companies overcome the challenges associated with peak preparing and peak delivery.
Copy that. Are going to see you soon.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you, Jose. Appreciate it very much.
No problem. Take care.
Take care. Have a great day. Thanks, everybody.
Without any question, it was an amazing conversation. It's something that definitely we need to consider. I mean, being a brand owner, then basically something that we should consider. And as Doug mentioned it, you need to keep thinking about the peak season, because the peak season, I mean, there are going to be changes. There are going to be multiple different changes every single year, and disruption is going to be present all the time. Again, brand owner is very important. I mean, just to comply and be able to serve the customer base. And for that, I mean, definitely the use of technology is something that is required. I said like twice already that I'm a little bit biased about the solution, because I like technology. I have seen it working very well. I got the opportunity to stop by in Project Bird warehouse in Atlanta, Georgia, and they are using Six Rivers solution, and it's amazing seeing all these little trucks running back and forth doing the picking and bringing that to the packing tables, and it is amazing. I mean, you need to see it. You need to experience that. For me, it's fun, but Chuck mentioned it and said it very clearly. The ROI is there. Therefore, I mean, we should be taking advantage of that. Once again, I appreciate, I mean, the time that everyone has spent with us today. I enjoyed the conversation with Doug, and this is Coffee Break Logistics and Supply Chain. No booking, because you don't need a booking to hear and experience every single event or something that is happening in the industry. We got that here for you. Very interesting guests and people that they know the industry very well, like Doug is. And we are going to learn more about everything, not only from the personal aspect, but also from the professional side. And remember this, we are together because we win together. Bye-bye. So long.